didn't think of this. Who remembers where we left off? Oh, thank you very much.
Maybe do. I'm not sure.
I think we're on the last line on Nun Dalad Amud Aleph. I'm not sure. It ain't changed. I think so. The Gemara Nun Dalad. What we learned, I think, last time was Nun Dalad Amud Aleph. The Gemara speaks about the importance of being humble to succeed in learning Torah. The Gemara says if one is humble, then he has to be open, he has to be prepared, a Talmid Chacham has to be prepared to transmit the Torah to others. If he wants to hoard all of the knowledge for himself, so he will not be matzliach in learning. Yeah. So the Gemara was emphasizing that. I think we got till the last line, where the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Amar Abchi Barabba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Dechsiv, what's the remez in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Noitze Te'eno Yochal Pirya. The one who, the farmer who will take care of the fig tree, will be zeicher later on to eat the peris from the tree. So the Gemara says that this pasuk is alluding to one who is mishamish the Rebbe, that Yeshua ben Nun took over after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. So the Medrash says, but Pinchas was sharper in learning than Yeshua ben Nun, because when they didn't know the din about Giulei Klei Midyan, about kashering the tray for Kalim, so Yeshua ben Nun didn't jump in and say it. Pinchas said it. So the Medrash says, but Pinchas memulachoya, he was sharper than Yeshua, how come Yeshua became the Rosh Hashiva? So the Medrash says, no, it's a tale of Yochel period, that Yeshua ben Nun was Meshamish Moshe Rabbeinu more, and Gorul Sheimusha Yosem Ali Muda. Set up the benches. What does it mean? Because he set up the benches, so they appoint you as the Rosh Hashiva. That's a little strange. That's the Lashon of the Medrash. He set up the benches. So I think what it means is the Talmidim who spend more time by their Rebbe will hear all the Shailas, will be discussed. A lot of things, when people ask me Shailas, I don't have to think so hard. I heard Rav Soloveitchik discussed exactly that Shailas. I just say over. Rav Soloveitchik said X, Y, Z, right? What I have to work for? So the one is sitting in the base medrash and learning, maybe will learn more than one is sitting by the Rebbe. One who sits by the Rebbe will have the experience of hearing all of these Shailas, halacha lemaaseh. So that's what it means, shimush. I think it just means that he set up the bench. I think setting up the benches means that while he was setting up the benches, he heard all of the Shailas being discussed by Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara has a tradition that pasuk in Mishlei Noitzei Teni Yochel Pirya has to do with Liman HaTorah. So the Gemara says, why is Torah compared to a Te'ena tree? The farmer who will take good care of the fig tree will be zecher to eat the figs. Why they pick on the marshal of the fig tree? So the Lama Nimshla Dibet Torah Keteena Ma Te'ena Zu. Rashi explains on the top line, not all of the figs become ripe at the same time. Today, some of the figs become ripe. Next week, a whole bunch of other figs become ripe. Every week, some more figs become ripe. There isn't one week that everything becomes ripe. So too, one who learns Torah and he learns it again, learns again. He just learned that Gemara, so what is he going to enjoy again to learn the exact same Gemara? The answer is no. We always find something fresh. If you go to the Teina tree, every week you'll find some fresh Teinim. So to Abdi Reter, Kozman Shodam, Hoige Bohem, a person learns the same Gemara over and over and over again many times, he'll gain a new insight the second time and then the third time and the fourth time. I remember Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give shiur every other year on Yeridah because he wasn't happy at the old system that the boys learned Yeridah on their own, and they used to memorize it, they didn't really understand it. So he always used to ask a question in the Bechinas for Yeridah. He used to ask a question that's slightly off from what it said in Shulchan Aruch to see if they really understood how to put two and two together. And he was complaining that very often they didn't really understand the Yeridah, they just memorized. So he didn't like the system, so he said they have to institute a shiur in Yeridah. So who's going to give a shiur? So he got stuck. It was his idea, so he had to give the shiur. So originally it used to be a smicha program, a two-year smicha program. So he had to give a shiur in Yeridah every other year. So all the students would have an opportunity to hear Yeridah by him. So if they're giving shiur many times in Yeridei, every other year, so then they changed it to be a 3-year smicha program. So you only had to give the shiur on Yeridei every third year. You didn't have to give every second year. And then it came to a point, he had already given the shiur on 15 times. He goes, how many times can you give the shiur? So the I heard Yeridei. I was Echatir Yeridei 3 times by Rav Soloveitchik. So I remember the second time was more geschmack than the first time. And the third time I enjoyed it more than the second time. Every time he said Yeridei, he would discover new insights. And every time I heard the exact same shir, I would understand the shir better. I would hear more insights. I would understand better what he was saying. That's what the Gemara says. When you learn the same Gemara, you'll always gain some new insights. That's like a Te'ena tree. Then the Gemara quotes another pasuk in Mishlei. Much of Mishlei is describing Limud HaTorah.
So the surface of the thing has some kind of something about it that it's better every time.
Not better. Rashi says because the Te'enim, the figs don't all become ripe at the same time. 1 week a whole bunch become ripe. The next week another bunch.
On the same tree.
So every week you come back to the Te'enim, you'll always find some new fresh. Te'enim. So till you come back to the same shtikala gemara, you learn it a second time and a third time, you'll gain some new insight that you never had before. So the gemara has the same comment about marriage. When you first get married, you're crazy in love, madly in love, and you get married and you're crazy about each other. Then as the years go by, a lot of times the love weakens. So the gemara says, but there are certain animals, ayala sahavim v'yala schein. The pasuk compares the love that Talmid Chachamim have for the Torah like the love that the male and the female gazelle have for each other. Lama nimshlei Torah layelis. Why is the love that Talmid Chachamim have to the Torah compared to the gazelle? Lama loch ma'ayelis rachmatzar v'chaviv al boyala kol shor v'shor kishor rishayna. The gazelle with the male and the female have love each other so much every time, even when they're together many, many times, the 100th time they have the same excitement as they had the first time, because Rachmatzar. So too, if a person learns Torah, just like the first time you hear, you learned this Gemara, you were so excited, you learned the new Gemara, even if you learn the same Gemara a second time, a third time, a fourth time, it'll also be very exciting. And then the pasuk continues, Ayelas Ahavim V'Yal Aschein. The Torah is beloved on the people who learn it. And then the pasuk continues, Dadeha Yiravucha B'Choleis. The breasts will satisfy, like a baby is nursing from the mother's breast. So a person who learns Torah is like being yoinik from a mother's breast. Lama Nimshle Torah Kiddat. Why is it compared to the baby nursing from the mother? The same idea as before. You think that the baby already ate a whole meal from the mother and he's not hungry anymore and there's no more milk left in the mother's body? No, if the baby will continue to suck on the mother's body, so there'll be some more milk. So the Talmud Chacham will never have exhausted all there is to discuss on any given topic in Torah. He'll learn the topic a second time, a third time, and he'll always find some new insights. Same as before by the Tein. We'll always discover new insights.
When a mother feeds the baby, it's also the Hava, she transcends the Hava, not only for this, only the time she feeds the baby, then continue this continues all the year when they grow up too.
Mm-hmm.
With making a cookie, bread, you understand me?
Mm-hmm.
This old thing, this warmness.
Mm-hmm.
When a baby feeds from the mother, he looks all the time on the face of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know who gave him the first food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The same is with the Torah. Person has to have develop a love for the Torah. Rav Soloveitchik, one of his published essays, has a comment on the pasuk in Bereishis. What does it mean, the husband and the wife joined together? So Rashi says, when they have a baby, then they join together. Means when they have a baby, their love for each other is greater. Why? So he said, psychologically, the Rashi is saying a klal that the mother loves her baby and the father loves his baby. So if the mother loves the baby, the father loves the baby, the same baby, so this will cause the mother and the father to love each other even more. They loved each other before they had the baby. But after they share in common one thing that they both love, so then it's even closer. So he said, that's why this is special. We have a mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's very difficult to develop a love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's invisible. So how does one develop a love? So the Tanakh describes the way the Ribbono Shel Olam loves the Torah so much, he refers to the Torah as his daughter. So the Ribbono Shel Olam loves the Torah, and if we develop a love for the Torah, even if we don't learn so much, sometimes the balabatim, who are not people who come to a shiur, come to a shiur, so they learn. But some balabatim are not able to learn, but they should develop a avas haTorah. They should see to it that shiurim should be given in the shul, even if they themselves don't understand, they don't enjoy it, they don't appreciate it. But they should be mechabed the rabbanim, and mechabed the Torah, and buy svarim for the library of the shul, and so on and so forth. So if they show, if they develop a love for the Torah, so the Ribbono Shel Olam loves the Torah, and the Baal HaBos loves the Torah, so this will cause a love to develop between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, because we both share the same love in common, we both love the Torah. By learning the Torah, like by nursing the baby develops a love for the mother. That's what he says. So by learning the Torah, that's how we develop a love for the Torah. Then the Gemara said, that pasuk continues, "Bi'ahavasa tishge tamid," because of the love that you have for the Torah, tishge tamid. Tishge means you'll do silly things. You won't know what you're doing. I mean, a person like has a monomania. He's a meshuggah. He's so crazy about learning. He loves, he enjoys learning so much. He's a shtikal meshuggah ledover echad. Bavasa tishge tamid. What is it referring to? So the Gemara says, "Kigon Rab Lozer b'Reb Pidos." That was the student of Rabbi Yochanan. There was a Tana Rab Lozer, but this one is an Amar. Rab Lozer b'Reb Pidos. Vaseist. When he got a ton and learning, he forgot the ganzen what he was doing. He would take off his jacket and leave it somewhere, then he would sit in the base medrash, and then he forgot where he left his jacket. His jacket was left somewhere else. So the Gemara says, why? He lived in Eretz Yisrael, in Tzipori. Most of the Amoraim, the Talmud Bavli, most of the Amoraim who quoted from Bavli. And this Rabbi Lozer b'Reb Pidos was a student of Rabbi Yochanan, so he lived in Eretz Yisrael. What is Tishge Tamid? What was his monomania that he was so crazy about learning that he was absent-minded because of it? He'll be sitting learning in one part of the city. He left his coat, he left his reckle somewhere else, and he forgot all about it. He forgot where he left it. Once I remember, by mistake, someone was going to take his jacket by mistake, because it wasn't in the base marriage where he was learning. And there was a malach there who was guarding the jacket, that no one else should take the jacket. So that's a mashal, bavasa tishge tamid, because of the love that the person has. He learns Torah, he develops a love for Torah, so it becomes a shtikal meshuge. Meshuge is spelled with an ayin at the end. Tishge means to make a mistake, shkiya. He'll because of his love for the Torah, so he's making mistakes. He's absent-minded and he doesn't fully realize everything that he's doing. Oh, I thought it meant a mouth. What sarf means a snake? Ah. Oh, okay, could be. I mean, so what does it mean? There was a snake protecting it?
No, it happened to be in the jacket.
Says what? Oh, nochash. Oh, oh. What's about nochash sarf? Oh. So what does it mean the nochash sarf was protecting it and no one should take it?
It happened to be there, so he... That
protected him to take it. Bimikre, there happened to be a snake. Oh. So the Ganef wasn't able to walk off with it. Okay. Bimikre, there was a snake. I didn't realize. Okay. I thought it was like Srofim, Malochim. Good. The Rabbeinu Chananel says it was a snake. Then the Gemara comments, Tanan Bei Ravonon, the Gemara is quoting more psukim about the importance of Liman HaTorah. So this is from Shiraz Dvarah. Rochli Asanos Choros Yoshua Midin V'Holchi Alderech Sichu. Everybody should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a Mohammed at that time, and the Jews were not prepared for the Mohammed. Nonetheless, they were victorious. L'mayla menateva. So Dvaira composed this whole beautiful Shira. So she says the people who would ride on the donkeys, and Yoshval Midin, the Rabbanim who would pass Kinshalos, the people who would walk on the road, they should all praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, they're not talking about three different people who are in three different walks of life. There are three different kinds of Talmid HaChacham. They're all referring to Talmid HaChacham. Rach v'asoyin say the Talmid HaChacham, Shemahalchami yirim, dina l'medina l'ulmat Torah. They're traveling to Lakewood, they're traveling to Eretz, traveling somewhere to learn in some other yeshiva. Ebigol l'ulmat Torah. So the Rachvi asked him, "Mischairus, that Talmid Chachamim who are traveling to learn in some distant yeshiva. What is tzchoros? Rachvi asonos tzchoros. I think the simple pshat is the word tzchoros is an adjective, a description of the donkey. It's black donkeys, black mules. So the Gemara says it's a different pshat. Shosemosa katzoharayim. When they learn the Torah, they make everything so clear, like a broad daylight, like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Even the halachas and the Gemara that are a little complicated, they simplify everything. Yeshval midin, shedonim dinem islamita. Rabbanim who paskan a dinem islamita. What do you mean a dinem islamita? That's what they refer you on the margin, on the left side. They write, Ein Tosu Shabbos Daf Yud. Tosis has that famous comment. Din. What does it mean? Din emes lamito. Emes is emes. No, what is emes lamito? Din emes means if you tine this and he tines this, it's taken shulchan aruch that the din is like that. So some rabbanim will just pask and he tined that, he tined that. It's taken shulchan aruch that the din is like this. No, din emes lamito means I'm not just going to hear what you say. I'm going to today and today tell him I'm going to find out what the truth really is. You didn't tell me the whole story. He didn't tell me the whole story. So dinam islamita means not only is it ois galt according to Shulchan Aruch, but it's tako ois galt according to what the facts are. The dayan make sure that the people are telling him the whole story. That's dinam islamita. So the whole pasuk, the Gemara is interpreting the whole pasuk is referring to people who are in learning. Like they should all Levuna. Praise.
Like with the Levuna. The person was more chayker to find out if he was telling the truth when they saw the moon.
Yeah. So you shouldn't just be mekabeleidus. You have to ask a lot of questions. V'holche al derech sichu is that holche elu bali mikra. That refers to people who learn Tanakh. Al derech elu bali mishnah. And sichu elu bali tamash. Kos ilchosam divrei Torah. So the Gemara interprets that the whole pasuk in Shoftim and Shiraz Dvaira that she says, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that all the people from all the different walks of life should all praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Jewish people were victorious in battle. So the Gemara says, no. The whole pasuk means all the various kinds of Talmid Chachamim should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Different kinds of Talmid Chachamim. Then the Gemara is going to emphasize the importance of Chazara. When a person learns, a lot of people in yeshivas like to be excited learning a new Gemara. So they learn another daf, and they're not interested in chazar. We learned it already. They don't want a chazar. Yeah, true. If you're chazar, you'll gain some new insights, but they'd rather climb a new mountain. Why should they climb again the same old mountain? They'd rather learn something new. So the Gemara emphasizes the significance of chazar. My dechsiv, what is the pasuk referring to in Mishlei? Many of the psukim in Mishlei are an allusion to limud hatorah. That's how the Gemara explains. So the pasuk says, Lo yachroch remiya seido. What does it mean? Remiya means a faker. Mm-hmm. He will not yachroch seido. He will not, when you go hunting and you catch a wild goose or whatever, so then you're going to shecht it and broil it and then you're going to eat it. So it says, a guy who's remiya, a guy who's a faker, lo yachroch seido. He will not succeed in broiling his catch. He won't eat it. So what does it mean? So the Gemara says, Lo yichye v'lo yarech yomim tzayed haramai. What is that referring to? What does Rashi say? Here, the Rashi is on the third line from the top. Lo yachroch, the simple pshat is he will not broil it and eat it at the end. He will not be zeche. So the Gemara darshans lo yachroch no tarikan dorish lei lo yichliya lo yarech. He will not live so long and he will not succeed. What's a tzayed ramai? The Gemara is alluding. The Gemara says that pasuk is alluding to one. A hunter is the hunter in the pasuk in Mishlei is a fellow who is learning Gemara. So he wants to chap over here. He wants to. He goes to a shir every Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, in the morning, at night. He chaps a shir there, but he never chases anything. So that's a faker. That's a false way of hunting. And he will not be successful. If he does his hunting in a fallacious fashion, he will not live so long to be zeiche to eat it in the end. In other words, he won't have atzlocha in learning. You only have atzlocha if you learn in an intelligent fashion, dahainu, by doing chazar. Rav Sheshe Samrat, Tzayed Haramai, Yachrech. What does that mean? What does Rashi say? Rav Sheshe Samrat is saying the same thing, but he's making it more with emphasis. How does Rashi say? Rav Sheshe Samrat, Ein Zeh Ramai Al HaShoteh. Rami means faker. The guy who chaps arayin a shear on shear over here, shear over there, shear over there, and he doesn't review. So that's not a Rami. That's less than a Rami. That's tamatipish. What is he wasting his time for? So the pasuk doesn't mean that. So what does Rashi say? The hakoved sal yad. Rami means a clever fellow in a proper way, not a faker. A person who goes to shiurim mechapsan on a lot of shiurim doesn't chasid. That's tam a shaita. That's a fool. The pasuk is saying, in a proper fashion, will he not? Said harama yachrach. Will the clever hunter, will he not succeed in eating his animal? La yachrach amiyat seido. A clever hunter, will he not succeed in the end to eat the food that he caught? So that's what it means over there. Akevut al yad hu haramai. The fellow learns a little bit at a time. Then he chazes. Then he learns a little bit tomorrow and he chazes that. Then he learns a little bit the next day and he chazes. Whoever learns a little bit and chazes, he's the Rami. In a positive expression, not negative. Shrewd. The first one, shrewd, right. The first one is saying, Rami, he's a faker. He's learning in a poor fashion. So the pasuk says he will not succeed. Rav Sheshis interprets, no. The pasuk speaks about, Layachrach Ramiyat Seidai. Will bitmiya? Will he not succeed if he's shrewd in the way he learns that he always does chazar? So he's saying the same thing as the first one, same thing as Rav Lozman and Azari, but he has the pasuk instead of benichusa, the pasuk is bitmiya. What's a mashal? What would be a mashal for a hunter? What's an intelligent way to go hunting? Sikyasa Rabdimi Amam, Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, so he said the following mashal: Mashal etzaychet tzotziporim. He's trapping birds. So he traps a bird, he has 100 birds. But the birds can fly away. So he keeps on catching birds, they're going to start flying away, so he's not going to hold anything. So he has to break the wings of the birds. He can't just catch one bird, catch a second bird, catch a third bird. You have to break the wings in order to make sure that they don't fly away. So that's what he says, Moshe le'tzayshu tzatziporim, im rishon rishon mishabek knafav. If he'll break the wings of each one as he catches it, is mishtamer. So they will remain by him, and he'll be able to shech them all and eat them all later. But if he doesn't do something to make sure, namely to break the wings, if he doesn't do something to make sure that they don't run away, then they go all run away. So the same over here by learning. What's going to happen? He's going to chapeshi here, chapeshi there, chapeshi there. If he doesn't chazer, it'll all go in one ear and out the other ear. So you have to do something parallel to breaking the wings, namely chazer. In yeshivas, they don't like to chazer. It's not right. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schaira, Amar Rav Huna, Maidich Siv, another pasuk in Mishlei, also describing Limud HaTorah. Also, a person learns and learns, keeps and learns one Masechta, another Masechta, another Masechta, but he doesn't chazer, so he's going to forget everything. The pasuk says, Hoin Mehevel Yimoid, the Kovitz Al Yad Yarbe. If a person is grabbing so much, he's grabbing tons of riches. So everything will be yimoyt. He's going to lose everything. But if he only grabs a little at a time, because it's al yad, yarbe, he will succeed and he will gain more. What does it mean? Imoysa adam terasa chavilas chavilois. He's making a sim. He's hopping around a whole mesichta here, mesichta there, but he's not chazering. The end of the story is going to be mismite. He's going to forget everything. But if he's not out to get so much, he's trying to learn a little bit and to write notes and to review it and to make sure that he doesn't forget it. If he's kevitz al yad, a little at a time, the end will be yarbe. So the Gemara says, Omar Rove, Yadi Rabban Alohamil said, the yeshiva bachrim know this, they heard it from the Rosh Yeshiva so many times, the Avri Alon, they all violated. The same today. The yeshiva is today, same in the days of Rove. The Talmidim don't enjoy chazar. It's a problem in all the yeshivas from time immemorial. I did fulfill this requirement. I learned a little at a time and I chazed, and that's why I was more successful than the others. Yeah, this was a side daf gemara about the importance of learning and avas hatar and so on. So now the gemara discusses when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the Torah to Bnei Israel exactly Tana Rabbanan Ketzet Seda HaMishnah. How did it go historically? Moshe Rabbeinu heard from the Rebbe Shlom, and then how did he teach it to Bnei Yisrael? It says in the Chumash he taught Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara has a tradition Moshe Lamad Nitiya Gvura. Moshe heard all the dinim from the Rabbanu Shalom. Nichnas Aharon. So Moshe Rabbeinu heard from the Rabbanu Shalom. Then Aaron comes into the room. Vishanalai Moshe Pirka. So Moshe Rabbeinu teaches him. Rabbanu Shalom taught him the dinim of tzitzis today, so he teaches him tzitzis. Tomorrow he learns the dinim of tefillin and teaches him the dinim of tefillin. After he gives the shir, private shir to Aaron, Nistalek Aaron v'yoshev l'smol Moshe. He sits down next to Moshe Rabbeinu on the left side. What's the significance of sitting on the left side? So the Gemara is going to say, if there's a Talmid Chacham walking in the street, or Talmid Chacham sitting, whatever, and someone less than that Talmid Chacham wants to sit or walk next to him, so Derech Eretz dictates he should be to the left of the Talmid Chacham if the fellow's a righty, so his right hand should be available to me, Mishamish and Talmid Chacham. If he's going to be to the right of the Talmid Chacham, so his right hand is going to be only over there. He won't be able to be Mishamish at Talmid Chacham. The Gemara is going to say, if you have a Talmid Chacham going with two people in the street, so Derech Eretz dictates Talmid Chacham should be in the middle, or the Adam Nichpad, the most becovedic person should be in the middle, flanked to his right and his left with the other two people. And the one who's the lesser of the two, who are of the two Shamashim, should be to his left to be Mishamishim, to be able to be Mishamishim. If there's only one person going with the Talmid Chacham, so let that one Shamas, so let that Shamas be to the left of the Talmid Chacham. If he has two Shamas and one to the right and one to the left, so the lesser of the two should be to the left of the Talmid Chacham. Here it says, Moshe Rabbeinu finished giving the shir to Aaron. So Aaron sits to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu. In case Moshe Rabbeinu will need any shibush, his right hand will be ready. The Gemara is assuming everybody's a righty. Okay? So the right hand of Aaron will be ready to be Mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu. So after that's the first year Moshe Rabbeinu gives, he says it over to Aaron. Nichnasu banav, the two sons of Aaron, Elazar v'Isamar, come in. V'shana lahem Moshe Pirka. Moshe Rabbeinu gives over the same shear that he gave to Aaron. He gives to them. Nistalka banav. So the two sons of Aaron also sit down, one to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu, one to the left of Aaron. Elazar yashav v'imin Moshe, and Elazar v'Isamar with the two sons of Aaron. And Aaron was sitting to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu. So now Isamar sits to the left of Aaron. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and he says, no, kol zman that there was only Moshe and Aaron and the two sons are in front listening to the shir, so Aaron sits to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu. His right hand is ready to be Mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu. But when you have Moshe, Aaron, and the two sons of Isamar, so Aaron is no longer the least of the three Shamosim of Moshe Rabbeinu. His sons are less than him. So Derech Eretz dictates that Aaron should sit now to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu, and one of the two sons should be to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu, not Aaron. Aaron was the greatest of the three who are being Mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you did, yeah, in history, historically, what happened over here? So the Tanakhama claims that historically, once Aaron sat down to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he stayed there. And Rabbi Yehuda thinks that it's not true. Originally, he sat to the left of Moshe when the sons were sitting in front of Moshe Rabbeinu listening to the shir. But then once the sons sat down, so Aaron moved his position to sit to the right of Moshe, and the sons would sit to the left. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Olam Aaron Limin Moshe Chayzer. After the Bnei Aaron are going to sit next to Moshe Rabbeinu, so Aaron now sits to the right of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nichnasu has the Kenim, so the Shivim Zekenim come in. And Moshe Rabbeinu repeats the same shir for the third time. He gives the same shir. Nistalka Askenim. So all the Askenim sit in a different location. Nichnasul Kol Ha'am. So the whole Kol Yisrael comes in. He gives the same shir the fourth time. Nimtzu Biyad Aharon Arbo'o. So Aaron Akoin heard the same shir four times from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara is going to emphasize the number four over here. It's important when you hear a shir, so you have to hear it four times. So Aaron heard the shir four times, when Moshe Rabbeinu told it to him, when he told it to the Bnei Aharon, when he told it to the Zkenim, when he told it to all of Klal Yisrael. So Aaron heard it already four times. So you know, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have to say more than four times. So how does the Gemara continue? Biyad Banav Shlosha, the Bnei Aharon heard the shir from Moshe Rabbeinu three times. Biyad Askenim Shnaim, the Zkenim heard Moshe Rabbeinu say the same shir twice. Once privately for them, and the next time for all of Klal Yisrael. And Biyad Kol Ha'am, the whole Klal Yisrael heard it once from Moshe Rabbeinu. So Genuk, Moshe Rabbeinu already gave the exact same shir four times. He can retire. Nistalik Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the room, and he goes and he has his breakfast. Or he starts learning the Marsha, the Rashba, whatever. He's going to do something else. the Stalik Moshe. Now it's Aaron's turn to give the shir. Shalom Aaron Pirkei. He repeated the Bnei Aaron only heard the shir from Moshe Rabbeinu three times, and now Aaron says the exact same shir that he heard from Moshe Rabbeinu a fourth time. So the Bnei Aaron heard it four times.
In Turkey Avos, at the very beginning, it, for some reason, it tells a little bit differently. It says Moshe Ibo Nesina, and then he taught to Yeshua, and it doesn't talk about Aaron or his son.
Yeah, I think that means generation after generation. That Mishnah means a different thing. The Mesiras HaTorah from one generation to the other. Here the Gemara is talking in the same generation, what's the Seder HaMishnah, how did they organize the learning? I don't think, those were different kufas. Anshei Knes HaGdoyla was way later. How does the Mishnah say? That's generations later, that's the beginning of the Bai Sheni. These are generation after generation. Here the Gemara goes in the same generation. So Aaron repeats... Yeah, the exact same shir. They hear four times. So the Gemara is going to emphasize the significance of learning everything four times. Everybody has to learn four times. So Aaron heard it four times from Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he says it the next time to the everybody. Now his children heard it, the exact same shir, three times from Moshe Rabbeinu, and one time from Aaron. So they heard it four times. So now Aaron can leave and he can go have breakfast, whatever. How does it say? That's the other Gemara. We'll talk in a minute. So it's how does it say? Nistalik Aharon. After Aaron gave the shear, so Aaron leaves the room, and then the Bnei Aharon heard the Divrei Torah, heard the shear three times from Moshe Rabbeinu, once from their father, from Aharon. So now they say it over the next time to this Kenim and to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So now this Kenim heard it four times. Shona lehem bonov pirka, and the Bnei Aharon say the shir, nistalka bonov. So then the sons of Aaron leave the room because the skenim already heard it the fourth time. Shona lehem skenim pirka. So the skenim now say over the shir for the fourth time to the Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael heard it the first time from Moshe, second time from Aaron, the third time from Bnei Aharon, the fourth time from the zakenim. Nimtza biyad hakol arbo. Everybody heard the exact same shir four times. What's the significance of four times? The Tana said, everyone has to, you have to give the shir, you have to say the shir four times to repeat the exact same thing. Why? Less than four times, heisnish galant. Either Gemara says in Chagiga, that other Gemara says, you can't compare a person who learns his shir, because 100 times, can it be compared to the person who learns 101 times? So apparently, the Gemara says, why? What's such a difference? A 1% difference. Why is Eina Daimas came out the exact same thing? 99% the same. He learned 101 times, he learned 100 times. The Gemara says, no. Moshel of Shuk Shel Chamorim, I think the Gemara says, Moshel from the taxi drivers. That the first, how does it say, the first four-fifths of a mile, they charge one amount. And then every fifth of a mile, they start charging an awful lot more. So the Gemara says the same over here. Apparently the Chok and all the yeshivas, Bizman and Gemara was, the Chok HaMekubal was, they had no printed Gemara, so they had to memorize everything. So the Chok HaMekubal was, everybody has to review 100 times. So if you did your homework, you reviewed 100 times, so you did what you're mechuyev to do. If somebody learns 101 times, that's very lifnei Meshuva Sadin. That wasn't, he didn't have to sign a contract. When he joined the yeshiva in the first place, he didn't sign a contract, he's going to review 101 times. So that's what Gemara says, that's Eino Doima. If he's volunteering on his own an extra time, that's ain't a day. So the Adi Gemara talks about the importance of reviewing 100 times. Everybody have you 100 times, 101 times, that's lifnei Meshuva Sadin. How come over here it says you have to review, learn it four times, ashtika lastira? So that's what the stipula has a whole sefer about Avos HaTorah, about the importance of learning. So he talks about this contradiction. So he says he doesn't think it's a contradiction. That Gemara, 100 times, 101 times, that's because they didn't have anything written down. So they had to memorize everything. They had to make sure that they committed to memory the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Chok in the Yeshiva was, the Chok HaMekubal was, everybody has to review 100 times for the sake of memory. Here he says learning four times, not for the sake of memory, just to get it straight the first time. Like, I saw the Gemara a few times, and I didn't realize that Sarath meant the snake. I thought Sarath meant the Malach. Okay, so I should have learned it four times. If I would have learned it four times, I think I did learn it four times. I still didn't look at the Rabbeinu Hananu. Okay, so this Taipala says, this Gemara is saying, we don't have to memorize the Torah Shabbat. Everything is printed now. Everything is on computers. But we have to learn it. So if you only go through it once, to say Stafil and Nishgilan, you didn't even learn it. You don't get to first base without learning it four times. Before you learn, if you learn it five times, you'll gain more insight. You learn it six times each time. You'll find gain more insight. But if you didn't do the Gemara four times, you don't even have your bearing straight. You may not necessarily even understand it at all. A lot of times a person already learned the Masechta years ago, now he's chazering, so that's not once, that's already the 16th time. He already learned the 15 times the Alduso. But the first time a person learns Gemara, he says it's important, you have to learn everything four times. Then 100 times, that probably doesn't apply Bizman HaZeh. That's only for the sake of memorization. And Bizman HaZeh, we don't have to memorize, all the Gemaras are printed. In the back of the Gemara here, they have a comment from Rabbi Yankov Emden. He doesn't say like this type. He says, this Gemara about learning four times, that was only Bizman HaTalmud, when everything was committed to memory, so you had to memorize it. But Bizman HaZeh doesn't apply. So the Stipula holds that that's not correct. He holds that 100 times, that's for the sake of memory. The four times is because before four times, he didn't even get to first base. He may not even understand that Pasha to Pshat.
So right to the Stipula, there's a heard of Gematria from the Gra, that what's the difference between 100 times and 101 times? Because Shachar is 328 and Zohar is 227. So the difference...
101.
It's about the 101.
So that's for memorization. That's for remembering. And this Gemara goes on understanding it, beginning to understand.
You need to do it because you say Eli Devorim more than 100 times, but Berachas HaTorah. So we are Yoytze, it may have been heard.
Okay.
You say the same Mishnah every day.
Mm-hmm. And that Mishnah we Yoytze, but we should take a Chazar everything four times. And the Gemara says, Mikan Amar Ablezer, the Tan Ablezer, Ablezer Ben Hurkinus, is Ablezer Agadol, Chai Varam Lashanus Lutamid of Arboa Pomid. The Rebbe has a chiv, not tell the Talmidim to learn it four times, not going to help. The Talmidim have to hear it from a person who knows it. Moshe Rabbeinu said it four times. Moshe, Aaron, Bonav, the Zikanim. They have to hear it four times from the person who is knowledgeable in order that they should pick it up in Zacha Kalvachoyma. Ma Haran Shalom Adlipa Moshe Mipiagura. Moshe Rabbein heard it directly from the Rabbanu Shalom. He was a very good Malamed because he heard it directly from the Rabbanu Shalom. Kach, and he had a chazer it four times till Aaron would begin to understand. So Hedyon Pipihedyot, if a bus of Adam is learning from another bus of Adam, no one heard directly from the Rabbanu Shalom. We don't have such a good Rebbe like Moshe Rabbein. Is the Chalachas Kama Vekama Kalvachoyma that you have to learn it four, you have to hear it four times from an expert till you really begin to understand.
Any Rosh
Yeshiva
do that?
The Gemara is going to tell a story. The Gemara tells a story later, no? 400 times. Where's that story later on? Yeah, Repreda, a few lines later.
Yeah.
The Gemara says, Repreda Havale Ahu Talmide, about 10 lines from the bottom of the daf. Repreda had a student, David Tonale Arba Meya Zimni. The Gomer. He had a chazer, the Rebbe had a chazer 400 times. The Talmud had such a shvacha cup, the Rebbe had to say over the din 400 times till the Talmud would understand. Yom Echad, one fine day, by Yuhu the Milsa de Mitzvah, they told Rav Preda that after he finishes the shir, he should please come for a meeting, a Dvar Mitzvah somewhere. So he told the Talmidim that after the shir today, he has to go to a meeting. So he gave the shir and he had the student there, so he had to say over the din 400 times. Said over 400 times, and this Talmud didn't pick it up. So he said, what happened today? Every day I say 400 times and you get it. What happened today? So the Talmud says, I heard that you're leaving to a meeting. So I was on pins and needles. I was nervous. You're going to leave, and you're not going to say it 400 times. So he did say it 400 times. He went to the meeting after the same. But the Talmud says, I was so nervous, I couldn't pay attention the whole time. So Rav Preda said, please do me a favor, pay attention now. I'm not going to leave till I say it over another 400 times. It's not Masif in Kitzur Shulchan or something. So he said it over 400 times, and the Talmud was zechet to understand. That's how the Gemara says. Tonale, he taught it over 400 times, vale gomar. And the Talmud didn't pick it up. Amale, so Rav Preda asked the Talmud, huidna maishna, what happened today? Every day I say this, I say over the din 400 times and you get it, how come today you didn't get it? Amale, so the Talmud tells Rav Preda, midahi shaita, from that moment, to Amale lamar, that the messenger told you, that you're needed, you're going to have to go to a meeting later, you have to go somewhere. Ika milsa de mitzvah, from the time that I heard you're going to have to leave, aschoy le daitoy, I was misiach das, because I was afraid you're going to leave in the middle. I was nervous, you're not going to say 400 times, I'm not going to pick it up. The kol shaita, and every moment, amina, hashtekoyimar. Every minute I thought, oh, the Rebbe's going to leave any second, and I'm going to be left not understanding it. So I didn't pay, even though he said it 400 times, I didn't pay attention, I didn't concentrate. Omalei said, the Rebbe said to him, hav daitoch ve'asni loch, please pay attention, and I'll say it over another 400 times, and I won't leave to the meeting, I won't go until I say it over. So the Talmud paid attention. And then the Talmud was Matzliach. So Baskoket, that's a wonderful Rebbe. That's a wonderful Rebbe. Nafka Baskel the Omrelei, so a voice came out from heaven, and Baskel came and gave her a preda reward. They said, we give you an option, either A or B. Either Nichalach de Leisvalach, would you prefer they should add on, you should live another 400 years? Who wants to live 400 years? Yes, and do you want to live to ripe old age another 400 years? Or, the Tiski ad, V'dorach le'alma diyasa, you and your whole generation should be zecha to'elam abo. Which would you choose? So he says, rather than live 400 years, I'd rather live together with all of my balabat, we should all go to'elam abo. That's my choice. If it's A or B, give me B. I'd rather have that. Omar dinisku anava daroi le'alma diyasa. I want me and my generation should all go to Adam Abba. That's what the Baskel said from heaven. Then the boss came, the Rebbe Shlom came, and he said, that was a very wise choice, because you chose B, I'm going to give you A and B. You're going to live another 400 years, and you're going to go to Adam Abba with your whole generation. The boss came and he said, give him A and B. So both.
Would I be correct? I was going back to something. When Moshe Rabbeinu learned from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the best Lalamim, but he learned like a human being with no nest, he's learned. He didn't put it into his head, but he learned it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu chazed also. The Gemara says in Megillah, when the Rebbe Shlom taught Moshe Rabbeinu, he sat and chazed it also. The first time he learned it, the Gemara says he learned it in a standing position. Then when he was chazering, he was sitting. The Gemara talks about exactly how he chazed on Har Sinai. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu learned it like everybody learned. I remember once the Rabban Soloveitchik gave a shiur in the yeshiva. Remember, that was the first year that he was in the yeshiva. So the first year was when Rabban Soloveitchik had his operation. So Rabban Soloveitchik was pinch hitting. Then the next year, that year he still gave shiur in Chaim Berlin, and he gave part time in the yeshiva. Then the next year he left Chaim Berlin and he came to YU. So they didn't know what level shiur to give him. So they took students from here and there, from everywhere. They gave him a shiur of 9 students. So I was one of the 9 students in the class. So I remember, a very tiny class. So I remember one day he gave a shiur. So one of the students says, after he said, Ishtikl Torah, Rebbe, I wasn't paying attention. Could you please repeat it again? So Baron Soloveitchik starts to say, you know the story about the Nodi Behuda with the Baal Shem Tov? So I started to smile. So he says, Shechta knows, you'll tell him the story later. Now make sure you pay attention now. So the story with the Nadi Behuda was that the Nadi Behuda, Mrs. Nadi Behuda, was a cousin of the Baal Shem Tov. And before the Nadi Behuda came to Prague, the big city, so they used to both live in a little village. And then they both left the little village. So the Nadi Behuda was very opposed to the movement of Hasidus. So on one occasion, he called in the Baal Shem Tov, his wife's cousin, to the Bezdin office, and the Rebbe Yehuda was there with other Rabbanim, and he said, look, he's starting a new movement, a new religious movement in Yiddishkeit. You only deserve to start a new movement if you're a learned person. It's not a political movement, it's a religious movement. So you have to be learned, so we have to test you to see if you know dinim, basic dinim. So the maisa was that it was on Rosh Chodesh. So he asked the Baal Shem Tov, what's the din if you forget Yal V'Yovah by Ma'ariv? In Shmon Esrei, tonight is Tak Rosh Chodesh. We have to remember to say Yal V'Yovah. Okay. So the Shaila was, he asked him, what's the din if you forget Yal V'Yovah by Ma'ariv? So the Gemara says, if you get Yal V'Yovah Shachris and Mincha, you have to repeat the Shmon Esrei by Ma'ariv, because Eim Mekachin is HaChodesh Balayla, whatever that means. So the din is that therefore you don't have to repeat Shmon Esrei. So the Baal Shem Tov didn't want to give him the right time of day. So he said, the Rebbe, the Nadi Behuda asked him, what's the din if you forget Yal V'Yovah Ma'ariv? So he said to him, Rebbe, It doesn't make a difference for my chassidim or for your chassidim. Right. My chassidim will never forget the first time. And your people, if you tell them to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, I tell you they would forget to say the second time also. So the chassidish version of the story goes that day, the Nadi Yehuda had forgotten Yalav Yavah and Shachris, and he davened the second time Shemoneh Esrei, he forgot Yalav Yavah the second time. That's how the chassidish version of the story goes. So that's why Baron Soloveitchik said, you know the story about the Nadi Yehuda, he meant that you're going to pay attention the second time. I'm going to have to say it over a third time. So when I smiled, so he said, Shechta, I'll tell you what the story was. Yeah, 400 times. Boy. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't say this. A Preda doesn't say this. Yeah. Yeah. The Gemara says the Rebbe has to teach in such a way that he should present everything they should understand it. The Talmidim have to be able to understand everything. The Gemara has before. Here, let's go back to where we left off. We left off the first white line on Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Rebbe Kiva Meinayin Shechai Varam L'Shalas Talmidov. How do you know the Rebbe has to teach the Talmidim Achi Lamdeno till the Talmud really understands? Not just he'll say the din and walk away, and you break your head to figure it out. No. Yilmedenu, till the Talmud really learns it. Not Yilamdenu, till Yilmedenu, till the Talmud really understands it. Shenema v'lamda is Bnei Yisrael. You have to teach it over to Bnei Yisrael till they fully understand it. And if they don't understand it, you have to repeat it and explain it a little better. Minayin atshetei sedura b'fihem. How do you know that you have to explain it to them till they'll understand so well they'll be able to say it? Sedura b'fihem. Shenema sima b'fihem. They should be able to say it over. If they can't say it over, it means that they don't fully understand it. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. He used to ask the students, do you understand it? So he said, yes, tell me over. So the student would say, no, I understand it, but I can't say it over. So they can't say it over, means you don't understand. That's what the Gemara says. They should be able to say it over. If they can't say it over, means they don't understand. How do you know you have to explain it? Not just say the din is under these conditions it's treif, under those conditions it's kosher. No, you have to explain because it's a dove charef and it's a nat baneat and it's a benyom and it's sirif and a sveksveik. You have to explain the whole thing. Laharis lepanim, to explain everything. Yeah. Shenema ve'ela mishpatam ashetosim lifneihem. Ashetosim lifneihem means to be masber everything to them. Freg de Gemara, in this whole system of teaching, Moshe Rabbeinu said it over four times. Why do we have to be Matriach Moshe Rabbeinu to say it over four times? First the Gemara says, let Moshe Rabbeinu say it once in front of everybody. What does he have to say first to Aaron, and then to Banav, and then to Zkenim, and then to Kol Ha'am? Moshe Rabbeinu should give the Shia once, and then let Aaron say it over another three times. Let Aaron say a second time. What is Moshe Rabbeinu? V'ligmaru kula mi Moshe. Everything work. They lechala covered le Aaron el baba the covered le zaken. We want to have a hierarchy that these are the biggest Talmid Chacham, next Talmid Chachamim. Not all Talmid Chacham are on the same level. So we want to have a whole system. Freg di Gemara v'neil Aaron v'nigma mi Moshe. Let Aaron Akain learn from Moshe. V'laylu bana v'ligmaru Aharon. What is matriach Moshe Rabbeinu that he should say it over four times? Let Aaron say it over. No, but Aaron shouldn't say it over. He didn't hear it four times yet. Aaron shouldn't say it over. He doesn't fully understand if he didn't hear it four times. Is that what the Gemara is going to answer? I don't think so.
Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't hear it four times.
Apparently Moshe Rabbeinu heard it from the Shechina. Maybe he did hear it from the Shechina four times. I don't know. But he chazed it many times.
It was equal to four
times. Yeah. I don't know how many times the Shechina said to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was equal to four times. Okay.
Right.
So what's the kasha v'laylu feg di Gemara v'ne'al Aaron v'nigma mi'moshe let I understand you want to show hierarchy among the Rabbanim. Moshe Rabbeinu is the top man, Aaron, then Bonav, then Skenim, and then Kol Yisrael. Fine. But why do you have to be Matriach Moshe Rabbeinu to say four times, V'nigmar, Freg de Gemara, V'neil Aharon, V'nigmar, Moshe, let Aaron hear it once from Moshe, V'laylu Bonav, V'ligmar, me Aharon, let Aaron teach it over to the sons, V'laylu Skenim, V'neil, for me, Bonav, V'leizu, V'ligmar, and L'kuli Yisrael. What's exact? Why is that a kasha? Moshe Rabbeinu should teach it four times to Aharon.
And then
Moshe can retire already. Then Moshe Rabbeinu can leave. And then Aaron should teach it over four times to Bono. Why do you tell Moshe Rabbeinu he should teach it over to Aaron, then to Bonav, then to his Kenan, then to Kol Yisrael? Let him teach it four times to Aaron. Aaron should teach it four times to Bonav, and so on. And for the Gemara, it's always better to have a Rebbe like Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave the shiur to everybody. Aaron heard it four times, Bonav heard it three times, Tzkenim heard it two times, and the whole Tzibur heard it once.
Also, he could have learned it four times on different level. It's like that's why Shlomo Miller could have talked to a smart person different. So that's why he said it to different people. So he had the same shiur on a different level.
I don't know. Umar is mashma that he taught everybody everything.
Because you said before, because they made a difference between bigger people and...
To be chayla covered to the greater Talmid Chacham, that the people should know that there's a hierarchy among the Rabbanim. They shouldn't think that all the Rabbanim are on the same level of learning. They should know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the top man, Aaron is next in line, and Bonav are next, and the Zkenim are next. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu teach it four times to Aaron? Then Aaron can teach four times to Bonav and so on. And Gemara says, no, it's better since Moshe Rabbeinu heard directly. It's better that he should teach everybody at least once. Then the Gemara has the comment about Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda is the Tanu who says that after Aaron heard the shiur from Moshe Rabbeinu, he sat to the left of Moshe. And then when the Bonav heard the shiur, then Rabbi Yehuda says Aaron sat to the right of Moshe, and the Bnei Aaron sat to the right and to the left. And the Tanakhama sounds like Aaron stayed to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't move to the right. After the Bonav sat down, Aaron did not move to the right. So the Gemara says, but don't we have such a tradition? Kiman, how does the Gemara say? Omar, it says in the Braisa Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Eliyahu Amar, Limin Moshe Choyzer. After Bonav sit down, so Aaron switches to the right. So the Gemara says, L'chore, that corresponds to the following Braisa. Kiman Azlaha, the Tanya, we have a Braisa in Yuma that says, if the three people walking on a highway, a Rebbe and two Shamosim, a Rabbi Emtza, out of COVID, the God will be mean of a cotton bismola. Why is the two Shamosim, the greater of the two, should be to the right of the Rebbe, and the lesser of the two should be to the left? So his right hand will be prepared to be Mishamish the Adam God. So the Gemara says, should I say that that only goes according to Rabbi Yehuda? Should I say it's only Rabbi Yehuda? Because that's what Rabbi Yehuda says over here. When Aaron is the only one sitting next to Moshe Rabbeinu, he sits to the left of Moshe. Then when Bonav sits, Aaron switches to the right, and one of the Bonav goes to the left. So that corresponds to what it says in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, it doesn't necessarily only go like Rabbi Yehuda. Afilu teima Rabbanon mishum tucha de Aaron. No, Aaron already sat down to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu, so you're not matrich him to move to the right. But if they would be shloshim mahalach and baderech, everyone would agree that that's the proper mahalach. That the most mechubedik person should go in the middle, that's the covet. And from the two shamosim, to the right and to the left, the lesser of the two should be standing to the left of the Adam Nichbod, so his right hand will be ready to be meshamish to the Talmud Chochm. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that in the Beis HaMikdosh, on Rosh Hashanah and on a Tainus Tzibur, when they blew shofar, and Chatzoitzvus, there's a mitzvah to blow Tkiya shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and a mitzvah to blow Chatzoitzvus on a Tainus Tzibur. How does it say in Parshas Mahaloscha? It says, and there's a melchama, Bariyasa Machatzoitzvus, Kisova melchama biatzchem. How does it say? Viskaita Machatzoitzvus, and it's Kartem, I forgot already. Where is it? Parshas Nosa or Parshas Om? Bahaloischon. The Chisavoyu Melchama Biarzachem al Atzar Hatzar Eschem, and the enemy becomes to attack. You should blow chatzoitzris. We will be spared. So there's the pasuk says whenever there's an eis tzora, there's a mitzvah to blow chatzoitzris. So the Mishnah says that the Mishnah says in Tainus like that. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says that on a Tainus Sibur used to blow chatzoitzris, and on Rosh Hashanah used to blow shofar. So in the Beis Hamikdash, both on a Tainus Sibur and on Rosh Hashanah, they would blow both chatzoitzris and shofar. Only in the Beis Hamikdash. Chutz le Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah, they only blew shofar. and on a tiny Siba they only blew Chatzetzes. Why isn't the Beis Hamikdash? They blew both, because the pasuk says Bechatzetzes with Kol Shefer Hariu Lefnei Melech Hashem. When you Lefnei Melech Hashem, when you Beis Hamikdash, then you blow both together, Chatzetzes with Kol Shefer. Yeah. The Mishnah says in Erechin, the Mishnah describes how they used to have musical and accompaniment to the Shiras Alvim, when the Kohen would be Menasech the Yayin at the end of the Talmud Shal Shachar and the Talmud Shal Ben Abayin, and the Musafim, whenever they would do the Nisach Hayayin, so the Levim would sing Shira. Ein Amim Shira El Al Hayayin. So when the Levim, the Gemara Paskin Zika Shira B'Peh, the Iker Mitzvah of Shira Salavim is by singing the Nigunim, and playing the music is Levasumi Kola. That enhances it. You go to the Mitzvah without the musical instruments, but it enhances the beauty of the Shira by playing the music as well. So the Mishnah describes on different days they had different musical instruments, and they had a lot of times chatzotzes, and they didn't have a shofar. So this Fasem is asked on the Mishnah in Erchin. I bet it's stuck on the Beis Hamikdash, and the Mishnah says whenever you have chatzotzes, you have to have a shofar. So I thought, he blocks by Kashi, he doesn't have a teretz. I thought the teretz was poshut. I thought the Mishnah in Erchin is talking about the musical accompaniment to the Shiras Halavim. So you have to ask a musician what fits in. You can't just throw in another instrument that doesn't belong. So the shofar will throw everything off kilter. It's not going to blend in with the rest of the concert that they play. This Mishnah that says in Rosh Hashanah b'chatzot, this is called shofar, that's because tkiyah shofar in Rosh Hashanah is a form of tefillah. It's a chelik of tefillah. That's why we blow shofar in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz. It doesn't constitute a hefsik. You can't shake a lulav in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. That's a hefsik. You can't blow shofar in the middle of Kriyat Shema. That's a hefsik. You can't shake a lulav in the middle of Kriyat Shema either. If you do a different mitzvah in the middle of another mitzvah, it's a hefsik. If you duchen in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, that's not a hefsik. That's where it belongs. That's the Chachamim figured out that's where the duchening belongs. And if you blow shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, that's where it belongs. The tkiyas chatzotzeres, that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. In America, the practice is that starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Shmini Atzeres, till Hoshana Rabbis, till before Rosh Hashanah, when they blow shofar. So in America, the practice is they blow shofar and then they say the Dovid Hashem Ari afterwards. Mm-hmm. So Rav Soloveitchik said that in where he came from in Lithuania, that was not the practice. He said the practice was they davened up the whole davening and they finished Dovid Hashem Ari, and after the whole davening was all over, they will blow shofar in the end. Because he said the shofar in Chodesh Elul is not a part of the tefillah. It's not to enhance the tefillah. It's to mirror the people to wake up to do tshuva. But the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a chelik of the davening. You blow dafk in the middle of the shmanes. I mentioned I was reading this book by the rabbi from Baltimore. He wrote a book in English, Minhag Lita. Forgot his name with a P. An older rabbi. No, a different name. I forgot his name. He's over 90 already. He learned. He was an American. He went to learn in Tels for 8 years. So he writes a whole book that the way the Firzach and the Yeshivas in America, they're following the Mishnah Berurah, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't follow living or dead what it says, what the practice was in Litte, and not even in Radin. Even in Radin, where the Chafetz Chaim was the Rosh Yeshiva officially, they didn't follow the Mishnah Berurah. They had different minhagim, they had the Litvish minhagim. And the Mishnah Berurah just ignored all the Litvish minhagim. So that's also one of the differences that he points out. He says in Europe, he doesn't remember this anywhere in Litte. They should blow shofar before the Dovid Hashem Ari. He says, if the whole davening was over, then they blew shofar. So I think that's the difference. The Beis Hamikdash is basically Beis Tefillah Yikar. Beis Hamikdash is a Makom Tefillah. So that's the place to enhance the davening. So on a Tainas Tzibur, Ki Savoy Mochama B'yartzachem Al Atzara Tzareschem An Anes Tzara V'Hariyosem B'Chatzaitzroitz. That's a form of Zaka, form of Tefillah. So if you're blowing Chatzaitzis in the Beis Hamikdash, you enhance it by also blowing shofar. And a Rosh Hashanah blowing shofar also is a form of tefillah, so you enhance the tefillah of the tkiyah shofar by blowing chatzotzes as well. That's the pasuk b'chatzotzes we call shofar hariyah lefnei melech Hashem, because the Beis Hamikdash is the place to emphasize tefillah. But when you're blowing chatzotzes as part of the musical accompaniment to the Shiras Halevim, so we come to arayin the tkiyah shofar. If the shofar is going to just throw the music off, it's not going to blend in with the orchestra. So there is no din that whenever you blow chatzotzes, you have to blow shofar, the Torah's music. It's a din of Torah's tefillah. If the chatzotzes and the shofar are blown, the Torah's tefillah, so in the Beis Hamikdash, you have to have both.
If the Messiah would be on Shabbos, they had chatzotzes too, the Levim had chatzotzes on Shabbos.
The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. whether they blew the chatzitzus on Shabbos because it's a gzera mederabanan mashmiya kol. So the Gemara says, if the din would have been that ikah shira bikli, that you're not yet to the mitzvah of shiras halavim unless you blow musical instruments, then for sure they're not yotze unless you blow music. So what are you going to say? There's a chumim mederabanan not to fulfill, not to blow musical instruments, so you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah of shiras halavim. But we paskin ikah shira bipet, and the kli is only levasume kola to enhance it. So that's a shaila. Maybe the gzera derabanan does apply, doesn't apply. So the tanaim had a machlokes. None of those tanaim lived in the days of the Beis Hamikdash. There are no eyewitness reports to tell us. So I think the accepted opinion is that they didn't blow chatzitzus. Not shal simchas beis hasheva for sure was not that's not ma'akev. That's only a minig. So for simchas beis hasheva, we assume for sure that they didn't blow musical instrument, in blow chatzitzus, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, Simchas Beis Hasheva. And the machlokes hatanaim was, what about the shiras halavim? Did they play musical instrument? I think the accepted opinion is that no, that they didn't.
Ein shavus b'mikdash. Ein shavus b'mikdash.
Right.
So that shouldn't.
The rule usually is ein shavus b'mikdash, but Tosfos points out we have a lot of cases where it says beferish that they did observe shavusim, even though it took away a little bit from the hakrovas hakarbonis. So here, basically, you yotze the shiras halavim by ikashir b'peh. You yotze by the singing. You don't really need the musical instruments likuva, but the musical instruments do enhance it. So it's a kiyum deraisa, but you're not mechuyev to. So that's why there's a machlekes hatanayim. Should we abstain from blowing the chatzitzus on Shabbos and Yom Tov or not? And we assume that you don't blow the chatzitzus, not the musical instruments are simchas beis hasheva. That's for sure. That's a lower level, and not even for the shiras halavim. It's also not derech Shabbos.
Rabbi, wouldn't the gadol always want to be on the left? He's the one that should be mishamish the rav. So if he's on the left, wouldn't he always want that position
to do the mitzvah of being mishamish? Yeah. If there are two shamasim who can be mishamish the adam gadol, so then the Brisa says that the lesser of the two is the one who should be mishamish the adam gadol.
Why should he give it up?
That question of giving it up, it's more kavara Torah, I guess. One is more learned than the other, so it's more kavara Torah that he should not be, the more learned of the two shamasim should not be called upon to be mishamish the rebbe.
That's less covered to the
rebbe. Basically, I don't know. It's a good question. It's an interesting question. So there they run on that Mishnah. So the Mishnah says there in Rosh Hashanah that on Rosh Hashanah in the Beis Hamikdash they blew shofar with chatzitzus, and on Tainus Siba they blew chatzitzus with shofar. The difference was on Rosh Hashanah the shofar was be'emtza and the shnei chatzitzus min atzdodim, and on the Tainus Siba the chatzitzus were be'emtza, two chatzitzus be'emtza, and the two balak to care for the shofar were min atzdodim. Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah the ikar mitzvah is b'shofar, so the shofar is be'emtza. And on the Tanis Siba, the Ikka mitzvah is b'chatzaitzah, so the chatzaitzah should be in the middle. So the Ran over there says it's based on this Gemara. It's not exactly the same. Shlosh Yishoy Mahalchim Baderech. So the Rav goes b'emtza. So there on Rosh Hashanah, it's not a human being. We're not talking about a Talmud Chacham. But we're talking about on Rosh Hashanah, the Ikka mitzvah is b'shofar. So the Kovet HaMitzvah dictates, requires that the shofar should be b'emtza, and the two chatzaitzah should be menatzdarim to enhance the shofar. And a time tzibu the ikar mitzvah is b'chatzaitzes chutz lebeis hamikdash. You're only going to blow chatzaitzes. You're not going to blow shofar on a time tzibu. So even in beis hamikdash, when you blow both together, b'chatzaitzes and call shofar together, so the two chatzaitzes should be in the middle and the two shofar should be on the side. So he said it's based on this brisa and yuman on daf lamed zayin.
So on Yom Tovs other than Rosh Hashanah they didn't blow the chatzaitzes, and also on Shabbos they didn't, but on Rosh Hashanah they did.
Right. Right, that's the famous Taz, quotes from his father-in-law, the Bach. The Chacham made a gzera d'rabbanon prohibiting tchiyah shofar on Shabbos. Gzera shem yavirenu. He may forget and carry. Why didn't they prohibit blowing shofar every Rosh Hashanah? Because it's mashmiya kol. You're not going to play any musical instrument on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So he says, so the Bach says, that's the mitzvah. The Chachamim have a right to limit the mitzvah a little bit. In the Chumash it says you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say which day of the week Rosh Hashanah falls at. So the simple reading of the pasuk requires you have to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah all 7 days of the week, whenever Rosh Hashanah falls at. But it's not explicit in the Chumash. The Chachamim have a right to come along and say, we prohibit you from blowing shofar Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. It's not keneged dovah hamafurish b'Torah. But to come and prohibit kiyah shofar every single Rosh Hashanah because of the chashash mashmiya kol to play musical instrument is forbidden, shemming sakin klei shir, it may be off key. You may fix it.
So there are many good reasons for the gzera. Shemmi avrenu, shemmi sakin klei.
Shemmi avrenu is only on Shabbos. Shemmi sakin klei shir should be every Shabbos and every yontav. You're not allowed to play any musical instrument. Yeah, so you should prohibit kiyah shofar and gansen. So that's what the Bach, quoted by the Taz, says, to that extent, the Chacham don't have authority to be oiker a mitzvah legamrei, that you never fulfill a mitzvah. The Rishonim ask a question, if the Chacham was so concerned, Shem Yavaren and Dalaramis, they don't allow us to shake a lulav on Shabbos, they don't allow us to blow shofar on Shabbos, and they don't allow us to read the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos, so why do they still permit us to perform a bris milah when the Yom HaShemini is Shabbos? Why not be concerned the Moel may forget and carry the instruments? He may carry his... Right, so the Rishonim gives six different answers. So one of the answers is this. The Meiri gives this answer. That's considered like Dov HaMafurish BaTorah. Because in Parshas Lech Lecha, next week's Sedra, it says that they do the Bris Milah on the eighth day. And then it's repeated again in Parshas Tazria, B'yam Shmini Yimel B'sar Al-Osai. So the Gemara says, what was added on in Parshas Shmini that didn't say in Parshas Lech Lecha? Shteitach Shani, you do the Bris Milah B'zmana on the eighth day. So the Gemara says, the whole Pasuk in Parshas Tazria comes to teach you that Milah B'zmana is Decha Shabbos. So the Rishonim say, maybe that's considered like a Dova HaMafurish B'Torah, that's why the Chacham didn't have the ability to make Gzera the Rabbanon to prohibit it. That's what the Meiri gives, that quotes that as one of the Terutzim of the Rishonim. That's a Terutzim. Similar to B'mo Adah. B'mo Adah says by Karbanis.
That's how we know the Karbanis.
Right. So here it says by Yom HaShemini, with emphasis, to emphasize even if it's on Shabbos. Right.
Also, the Moel himself is debugging.
Well, he may not know how to say the bracha.
Father want to do the mitzvah himself, like want to do it by himself.
Right, there are many terutzim on the kasha. This is one of the terutzim. There could well be that this is considered bris milah bizmano, that is decha Shabbos may be considered like a dov hamafurish b'Torah, that the chacham have no right to make such a gzera, to prohibit us from fulfilling a dov hamafurish b'Torah.
The mitzvah is repeated in Tazria Rebbe because of Ladoros, that it's a mitzvah Ladoros.
And Lech Lecha already says Zos Brisi Ladar Asylum. It already says in Lech Lecha that this, it could be that it wasn't told to Avram Avinu yet, but in Parshas Lech Lecha after Maimon HaSinai, so the Rebbe Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu put in Parshas Lech Lecha that this is a din Ladar Asylum. So it already says in Lech Lecha that it's Ladar Asylum. So the Gemara says it's repeated to teach me for emphasis, like the Moado, that Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos. If you just have Lech Lecha, you would know that. It's repeated there to teach you that Mila Bizman is Decha Shabbos. That's why we learned the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara says, when it's repeated in Parshas Tazria, to teach us that it's with emphasis that it's Decha Shabbos, it's written right next to the din that a Yoledus, a woman who gives birth to a baby, is Tameya for a period of time and Tahora. If she gave birth to a baby boy, so you make Tumah 7 days and you make Tahora 33 days, adding up to the sum total of a 40-day malos. And if she gave birth to a baby girl, they made tumah 14 days, they made tohar 66 days, adding up to a total malos of 80 days. So the Gemara says, there's a machlekes hatanaim, we paskin that if there was a cesarean delivery, so there's no you make tumah vitar. Ishikis says we have a yolda, only if it's a normal leida. If it's cesarean, then there's no you make tumah vitar. So the Gemara has a machlekes amaroim, what's the din? If a baby boy is delivered on Shabbos, cesarean delivery, it wasn't a natural birth, is the bris milah decha Shabbos or not? So it's a machlekes in the Gemara, and this machlekes, there's no hachra. So misafik, we go to Chumrah in both directions. We just had in Washington Heights, one of our neighbors had her first child, so she had a cesarean delivery on Shabbos, chalamoid. They had a cesarean delivery on Shabbos, so they couldn't perform the bris milah on the next Shabbos, said they had to wait till Sunday. So the whole neighborhood had to wait till everybody had to know that she had a cesarean, because everybody was wondering. The baby was born on Shabbos, why'd she have the bris on Sunday? So they had to tell everybody that it was cesarean. So the Gemara says, why? Because the din of Yamashmenihim of Sarah Losa and Tazria is written right next to the din of he made Tumah Vitara. So one opinion of the Gemara is Kol Sheima Tmeya Leida, the bain is Nima Lishmaina. If the ima is not Tmeya Leida, if you don't have he made Tumah Vitara, so then it's no din of Shmini at all. So really, they could have done the bris when the baby was 2 days old. The baby was delivered on Shabbos, could have done the bris on Monday. But we're mistupik what the din is. So we don't allow a bris till after 8 days. Maybe you do need Shmini. But you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Maybe you didn't need Shmini. Maybe you could have done it the whole week. So that's why you have to go to Chumrah in both directions. You have to wait till the Monday, till the Sunday after the next Shabbos.
How did they determine that with the cesarean there's no Tumah Vitara?
Based on the smichas apsukim in Parshas Tazria, that it says the yoledes has he made 7 days he made tuma, 33 days of he made tara, and then it says b'yom hashmini yimol psara losa. So these two psukim are one next to the other. So one opinion in the Gemara is there's a connection. Kol sheima tmei oleda nima lishmina. If ima is not tmei oleda, then the baby is not nima lishmina.
How do you know there's no
tumas later? That's a machlokes hatanan in Perek Yotzi Doifen. So we paskin that it says ishi kisazvir the yolda zocher v'tamashivas yamin. The yolda zocher the normal way. That's what we paskin, the natural way. If it's not a natural delivery, so we paskin like the chachamim's opinion in the Mishnah. One Tana disagrees. Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon Baichai. But we paskin like the chacham that there's no yimei tumah v'tar.
What does she follow? Regular,
because
neither 7 days of
Tahara? Yeah. If there was dam, theoretically, the Gemara talks about theoretically, you laid the Yaveshta, delivering a baby with not a drop of blood. It never happens. There's a whole bucket full of blood. But if theoretically there would be a laid the Yaveshta, no blood would come out at all. The woman would be Tameya, Tumas Yoledes. Anyway, and if it would be cesarean, then there wouldn't be any Tumas Yoledes. But by us, there's always a ton of dam. So the woman is anyway a nida, a zava, whatever it is. She has to wait Shemini came anyway. So this is the Gemara, the Seder of Liman Hatur. Yeah. Then the Gemara talks about being careful to get all the dinim straight and to try to remember the dinim, not to forget. So the Gemara has 5 lines from the bottom. Ein atar niknas ela b'simonim. In order to remember all of the dinim, you should try to make a Rashi Tevis, a Gematria, some kind of a simon to remember.
Doctors do that for the medications.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they make simonim because there's so many different complicated words.
Okay. So the Gemara says in learning also, you have to make simonim to remember. A lot of times you have in the Gemara.
Didn't you say that earlier? The Gemara said Buddha's also simonim was thoroughly remembered.
B'nei Yehuda, B'nei Galila, yeah. So that's one of the pshatim in the Gemara. Where the Gemara a lot of times will have a Rashi Tevis of all of the different memories. In what order? Yeah, here I don't see it.
The one before it was written down?
Yeah, to remember it. Before the Gemara was written down, so you used to have a Rashi Tevis of the next 10 memories in order to remember the order.
But again,
Zman is dead, it's irrelevant, yeah. So some people, I remember when I was in yeshiva, some of my rabbein, when they would teach Gemara, they felt you mukhiv to read all the simonim. Yeah. Got to say all the simonim. I don't know. Most of my rabbis did not do that. So the Gemara makes the comment, enatar nikten sela b'simonim. You have to make Rashi Tevis in order to remember the Seder HaDvarim, in order not to forget the memories. Shenema, sima b'fiyim, altikri sima ela simna b'fiyim. Make simonim in order that they should remember it. Shama Rav Tachlifa Mima Rav, Rav Tachlifa from Eretz Yisrael happened to hear this from Rav Chizda. Ozal Amorah Kameh Rababo, he told it over, that Rav Chizda learned it off in that pasuk, Sima Bifim, Sima means Simna Bifim. Omar Hotegazak, Hatun Mehosim Asnitu Lo, you commented this based on that pasuk, Sima Bifim, Adrosha and Asmachta Simna Bifim, make a simen. I have a tradition, Anan Mehocham Asnitu Lo, we have a different pasuk in Yirmiyah. Hatzivilach tziyunim, etc. What do you mean? Asu tziyunim la Torah. Make simonim that you shouldn't forget. We usually assume hatzivilach tziyunim means a different thing. Okay. When the Jews were sent into Golas Bavel, So there are so many mitzvahs that you can no longer fulfill. All the mitzvahs that only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So we recommend Hatzivilach Tziyunim. You should make a zecher to all of those mitzvahs so that when the Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael, it won't be so fremd. It won't hit us something that we never heard of before. So like we have Sfira Soyme Bismanazah, many Rishayna Mesumans only Midirabbanon. We have many dinim like that. Chalav Chutzlarts is only Midirabbanon. A lot of mitzvahs, Zechel HaMikdash. Klapping Hoshayman is Zechel HaMikdash. Lubav Kol Shiva is Zechel HaMikdash. We do a lot of things. So that's what we assume. You should have simonim to remember what the mitzvahs were like when they were going into Golas Babel. Yirmi was telling him, don't forget all of the mitzvahs. So this Amora, this Rabbi Bo says another interpretation. You should have simonim, so you should remember the whole Torah Shabbat.
Same word, a gravesite, they call
it Tzion. Tzion, yeah.
It's the same word?
Yeah. Amen. Same word, yeah. To know that this is where so-and-so is buried. A tzion means to remember that this is where Pliny is buried. A matzev is called the tzion.
Any significance that the first one is from the Torah and the other one is from the Bino?
They're both only asmachtas.
Yeah,
I don't think either. The Sefer Tzlach is tzion le-nefesh chaya. It's not a tzion. It has nothing to do with Zionism. Tzion is his mother died. His mother's name was, his mother was his wife, I forgot already. The Nodi Behuda. So he named the Sefer in memory of his mother, I think.
Was
not sure.
He married an old man. Wasn't it the one who married like an older person, therefore she done, you know, she was an almana for a very long time, so Tzlach wrote that Sefer.
Don't remember already. But the word is Tziyun as opposed to Tziyon. This is a Tziyun, like a Matzeva, in memory of the woman Chai. Tziyun and Nefesh Chai. Yeah, so the Gemara says, and how do you know that the word tziyun means a simen? To remember something, that's in the end of Yecheskel, where it describes what's going to be by Melchem's Gog and Magog and Eretz Yisrael. There are going to be dead bodies all over the place, but Eretz Yisrael, we want to be Tahor. So the Bnei Yisrael are going to be dead bodies from the Goyim, from the Melchem's Gog and Magog. So the Jewish people will have scouts, and they'll remove, they'll put tziyun whenever there's a dead body, and they'll collect all the dead bodies. And they'll remove them in order to be Matai Eretz Yisrael. V'ra etzem adam, abona etz l'tziyun. They'll put a tziyun next to it to make sure that no one will become tummy. Then the Gemara says, other a goyish body is for sure metame b'mago b'masa. If you touch it directly or if you move it. Even if I'm wearing gloves, I move it like this. But ba'ohel, that's a machlekes. What if I didn't touch it, I didn't move it, ba'ohel, that's a machlekes. And it's usually assumed that Meisei Akam are not metame boils. Machlekes atanoim, and a machlekes harishayim. Rablazo has a different marker for this idea that you have to make simonim to make sure that, you know, this simonim is only when the Torah Shabbat Peh is being recited by Peh, to make sure that it's not forgotten. Once you have gemaras that are printed, you don't need all the simonim. So he used to say a different marker, emolochach machosiyat, you should be buddy-buddy with Chachma like a brother and a sister. You should try to absorb as much Chachma as possible. And you should call Bina, Chachma, intelligence, you should call it your dear friend. You should refer to Bina as a good friend of yours. So what does it mean, Moda? A good friend. So the Gemara has an additional on Asmachta. I say, Modoim la Torah, you should do something with the learning that should help you not forget. You should make simonim, Rosh Tevis, to make sure that you don't forget. The whole thing doesn't apply to us. Rava has a different interpretation that pasuk, umoda lachachman bina, doesn't mean I say modoim, that you should make simonim, but rather it's miloshen mo'ed. Moda is miloshen mo'ed. I say mo'adim la Torah. What do you mean? You should kaber itim la Torah. The Rebbe should tell the Talmidim what time he's going to give the shir. So they'll know. The shir is going to be 8 o'clock. Shine. Not... they should wait all day and all night when the Rebbe is going to decide to give the shir. Yeah. They say that Rav Velvela, I remember Rabbi Gerelik and the others told us, Rav Velvela Soloveitchik used to have an arrangement in Europe, so they used to send from the Mir Yeshiva 10 or 15 of the best students to go to Brisk. Rav Velvela should have a group of people to give a shir to. So he used to hang around Rav Velvela's home. He would sometimes give a shir 10 in the morning, sometimes 10 at night, sometimes 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They never knew when the shir was going to be. From one day to the next, they never knew. There's an awful lot of bittul Torah going on. So one of the people complained, one of the Talmidim, they were mature Talmidim in their 20s. So one of the Talmidim complained about it, and Rav Velvela overheard him make the complaint. So he waited till they used to usually come for 1 year, and then after the year they'll go back to the yeshiva to learn in Mir Yeshiva. So at the end of the year, Avelvela made a comment to one of them, and he says, "Dachzach that there was so much Bittul Torah this year, but dachzach that you learned more this year than you ever learned before." They could have learned more without any Bittul Torah also. They could have had Zevazah. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara says now. More correct is, "Asei Moadim LaTorah." You should be Kaveh Itim LaTorah. It's Man Kavua. Have a Chavrusa morning Seder, afternoon Seder, the Shir is this time. Everything should be Zman Kavua. There shouldn't be Bittul Zman. The learning should be done in an organized fashion. Asei Moadim LaTorah. Yeah, what's the importance of having Zmanim Kavuim? What's the importance of having the Simonim? Mar says, what's the significance of having the Simonim? To make sure we have to go out of our way to make sure that we don't forget all of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Gemara says, "V'hena d'amar abdimi b'chomer b'adoy semay d'chsev lo b'shamayim huvelay mevelayami." Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's giving his farewell address to Bnei Yisrael, so he's encouraging them they should learn the Torah. So he says, the Torah is not in the heavens. The Torah is not mevelayam. It's not on the other side of the ocean. What did he mean to say? The Torah is not b'shamayim shim. If the Torah would have been b'shamayim, you would have been mechiv to go climb up to heaven in order to get it. Mm-hmm. And if the Torah would have been mevelayam, you would have been mechiv to go to the other side of the ocean in order to learn the Torah. The Torah, the Rabbi Shalom gave us a break. He didn't make it so difficult to learn Torah. But if it would have been more difficult, it would have been mechiv to learn that too, to streng zechan in order to learn. So that's what the Gemara said before. You have to make simonim to make sure that you don't forget. You have to strain yourself and have to go out of your way to try by all means possible to effort. Make sure that you succeed in learning effort. And you don't forget. Yeah, you have to have a lot of effort and techazer and so on. That's the Pashup Shat. Lo Bashamaimi, the Torah is not in the heavens. The Rebbe Shalom gave us a break. That the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Rav Amar, Rav has a different kinage. Loi bashamayim hi, you won't find learning by a person who has head, he's so arrogant. He's so arrogant, his head is always up in the sky. He doesn't care to look down at the lowly human beings. So that's what Rav says. Lo timsa, you won't find learning of Torah b'misha magdia daito aleha kashamayim. What does it mean? Loi me'eva layam hi, lo timsa misha marchiv daito aleha kayam. A person who thinks that he can conquer the whole world. He thinks he's so great and so grand that he can accomplish everything. So a person is so arrogant, lo me'eva layam hi. You won't find learning by a person who thinks very highly of himself. He thinks he can conquer the whole world. The Torah will only be found by a person who is humble. Similar to what Rabbi said, so Rabbi Yechon also made a comment. Rabbi Yechon anama, lo b'shamayim l'timtz b'gasei haroch, lo me'eva layam. Merchants, businessmen, a person, a lot of balabatim, they're in business and they think they know how to learn better than their rabbanim. Sometimes taka have businessmen that taka know how to learn better than their rabbanim. But generally speaking, the balabatim shouldn't, just because the balabas is learning his daf yomi or is learning mishnayis or whatever, he shouldn't think that he's the world's biggest talmud chacham. You have to work hard. What's the difference between Magbiya, Daito Aleho, and I think it's the same thing. I don't know. I think the two Amoraim said the same thing in two different Lashonos. Just the two versions in Agamar, the first one was said by Rabbi, the second one was said by Rabbi Yechanan. And they have the Girsa on the side from the Shilta is the reverse. The first one was said by Rabbi Yechanan, the second one was said by Rabbi. Rabbi lived in Bavel, and Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. And each one had a different way of expressing himself. But I think it means the same thing. Kasei Ruch is Misha Magbiya, Daito Aleho. Okay, so this was all the break. Now we're getting back to the theme of the perek, the theme of the mesichta. Yeah, there is a din. Oh, okay. Well, just a word from our sponsor. There is a din of tchumen. There is a din of tchum Shabbos. So the din is if a person lives in a house in the middle of the desert, so he only has alpay mama around the house. That's all. But if the person lives in the middle of a city, then there are halachas. Then the Mishnah says you draw the city as a rectangle. And then you draw alpay mama outside of the rectangle, and it's going to be a machlekes hatanaim. Maybe you first draw ibur shalir, 71 amis, a rectangle. First you draw the city as a rectangle, then you draw a rectangle around that. That's ibur shalir. That's the outskirts of the city. Then you draw alpay mama. The Rama is mekel and shulchan aruch to machlekes hatanaim. We'll still learn it, so we're mekel on that. So now the Gemara is going to discuss about drawing the rectangle. Exactly how does one draw the rectangle? This is taka very serious halach al ma'aseh. It comes up all the time. Okay, so we'll end that next week. We'll start the Masechta. Enough of a break. We usually talk about the significance of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara talks about the Kedusha Rishayna and the Kedusha Shniya. The Kedusha Rishayna was in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. That Yeshua ben Nun took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. That says in Tanakh. Took 7 years to conquer the Lamed Aleph Melochim. And then the historical tradition has that it took an additional 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. And only after those 14 years were up, year number 15 was the first year that Eretz Yisrael had Kedusha. That's called Kedusha Rishayna. And then we assume at the time of Churban HaMikdosh, Churban HaMedina, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, when the Babylonian armies conquered Eretz Yisrael, so the whole kibush was undone. The kibush was made by Yeshua ben Nun that endowed Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha was undone, so the whole Kedusha disappeared. That's a machlokes HaTanaim. The overwhelming majority of the Tanaim assumed Kedusha Rishayna was Batla, so they had to make a Kedusha Shniya. So what was before the days of Yeshua ben Nun, there was nothing doing in Eretz Yisrael, it didn't have any significance. So the answer is no. The Ribbono Shel Olam told Avraham Avinu, "Kum hisal baras lo kol rachba kiluchay tenena." When Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, he was kohen Eretz Yisrael. It didn't yet have kedusha, but he was kohen Eretz Yisrael. And before Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, the Ribbono Shel Olam told him, "Lech lucha meyartecha meladetecha el haaretz asher reka." Go to Eretz Yisrael. He went to Eretz Yisrael. He said, "Walk around the borders and you're kohen." And before he walked around the borders, there was nothing special about Eretz Yisrael. So the pasuk says in the end of Noach, no, they always knew all along. Eretz Yisrael was the place of spirituality. Avraham Avinu's father was known as an Oved Avodah Zarah. The pasuk says towards the end of Noach, "Vayikach Terechis Avraham Avinu's Lot Ben Horam Ben Navi Sarai Kaloso, Vayetzu Itam Lalechas Arza Kinon." He decided he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. He never got there. He went to Haran and he changed his mind. He didn't go weiter. Why did he decide he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael? Lechon Epiria with his Boya Mituva. So the Mefarshim on the Chumash say no. He was searching for spirituality. It was like the Melech HaKuzarim. He was also searching for spirituality. He was worshipping Avodah Zarah. So Terach Avi Avram was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. But he was searching. And they all knew this from the days of Avram, from the days of Adam Rishon. They knew that Eretz Yisrael is the country that has more spirituality than the rest of the world. The Gemara has a tradition we learned in the end of Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, in the end of Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that the Mabul never affected Eretz Yisrael. Mabul affected the rest of the world. Eretz Yisrael was known all along to be a special place. The Gemara has a tradition that the Evan Shisiyah and the Beis HaMikdash and the Kodesh Kodoshim, after they removed the Orain, was Nignaz in the basement towards the end of the Beis Rishon, so there was an Evan Shisiyah there in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So why is it called Evan Shisiyah? So one opinion of Maseches Yuma is Shemisham Nishtas Kol Ha'olam Kulay, that the Ribbono Shel Olam first made, that was the first thing to be created, and that the rest of the globe, the rest of the earth, and the rest of the world was an extension of that. This they all knew. Eretz Yisrael, before Avraham Avinu acquired ownership, and before Yehoshua ben Nun was Mekadesh Eretz Yisrael, this they all knew from the days of Adam Rishon, that Eretz Yisrael is the Makam of Ruchnius. Vayikach Ofer, how does it say? That was later, yeah, but how did that, even before? So the pasuk says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon, it says he took Adama. So there are different suggestions in the Medrash, right? So one suggestion is in the Medrash is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took off from all the four corners of the earth, that man should be able to acclimate himself wherever he goes. There are people living in Alaska. There are even people living in Alaska. There are people living in New Zealand. People living all over the world. Human beings can acclimate anywhere. And the other opinion is no. Vayika chofa min adoma means he took in mizbach adoma tasili. The offer from which the Marishan was created was taken from the mokam mamizbeach alavai shetehelo kapar. Rashi quotes the two opinions from the Medrash. So apparently this was always known, that Eretz Yisrael is the place of Ruchnius. So that's what the Mefarshim on the Chumash say, the Rishonim say. The Terach originally started to go out to Eretz Yisrael searching for Ruchnius. We have to all look for a little more Ruchnius. I started to write it.
Oh, good, good.
How do you spell Shalag? After writing that, I'm going to go to Thanksgiving. Maybe we'll go meet him in person. We'll go to the Yoyu convention. No, I'm going to go.
Oh, you're always going to be.
My brother probably also going to be.
He's going to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.